Do you wish you could get virtual attendees to turn their cameras on? Is engagement the number one issue on your virtual meetings? Do you want your meeting to be the most engaging virtual meeting? Well, welcome to the Engaging Virtual Meetings podcast. In this podcast, we'll talk to the top people around the world in virtual meetings and give you, the listener, the best ideas to host engaging virtual meetings. Make sure that you click subscribe so you can get the latest episode of the Engaging Virtual Meetings podcast. Now, let's welcome your host, the author of the number one Amazon hot new release, Engaging Virtual Meetings, John Chen. Happy February, and check this out. Look, I don't know how many of you are baseball fans. If you are a baseball fan, go ahead and chat your favorite team inside of the chat. And why do I have a baseball theme today? Well, I was at opening day, last year or the year before, which was exciting. Of course, our Mariners here in Seattle are going to be home to the All-Star game, which is great. But we have the real true All-Stars here today. We have two people here who are the owners of a company called Atiga Their Own, and you might have seen them featured on Sherry Prindle's program when we live streamed their portion. Let's bring in the one and only first, Jim Teague. Hey, Jim.
Hi, John. How you doing?
Yeah, fantastic. And let's bring the one and only, we were in the pre-show, but I'm going to say better half now, and Jim will have to complain. Here we go. Michelle. Hey, Michelle. What's going on?
Fabulous day in the neighborhood, John. How about you?
It is a great day in the neighborhood. You know, it's like my friend who says about fishing, a little basement's a little bit like that, which is that the baseball is always good, you know, but the winning's not always good. And that's okay, right? He says the fishing is always good, but the catching is not always great. So let's do this. So, you know, some of my friends don't know who you are. So Jim and Michelle, take a moment to introduce each of yourselves and tell people who you are, and more importantly, what is Atiga of your own?
Well, I can tell you Jim is an award-winning speaker. He's an award-winning teacher and trainer. He's actually got, oh my goodness, almost 25 years of experience in teaching and training. He has been working in the finance field in academia. However, he is an excellent resource for leadership, communication skills, team building, and he's your go-to person when it comes to understanding generations in the workplace.
And Michelle is an excellent trainer and speaker. She's been training for many, many years. She's also taught classes at the college level. And she is a great resource in the fact that she's so versatile. She is able to train on so many different topics. She's actually worked in the past as a contract trainer and had to really be able to wear a lot of hats and do a lot of different things. Not just in the business area, but including things like nutrition. So she is an exceptional speaker, trainer, and together, I think we make a pretty good team.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Fantastic. Atiga Their Own. By the way, let's see. We have some people on here on Facebook. They said the Giants, that they love baseball. And another user said, grew up watching the Cubs on TV. By the way, if you are chatting, look to see if you can go to chat.restream.io/FB and you can actually approve that. Otherwise, you could just chat your name and then I'll know exactly who you are. These people said the Giants and the Cubs. Who are each of your favorite baseball teams? It doesn't have to be the same.
It won't be. I grew up watching the Phillies. I am still a huge Phillies fan.
And Jim?
At this point, I guess I'm still a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. Oh. They're so hard to watch right now. Yeah. You haven't really been engaged for the last couple of years on that.
Yeah. You got to be loyal at this point. Although I have seen that park right in Pittsburgh, and it is amazing.
Oh, the park is wonderful. Yeah. If they could ever get a real team on the field, it'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of team, right? Talk about why did you name your business A Teague of Your Own? All right. I don't know if you told that story or not. I just want to make sure.
Michelle came up with this. I wasn't sold on the idea to start with, but it grew on me after a while. And we found that a lot of people, they respond to it because they get that relates to the movie. And so, but Michelle is the one who came up with it. Tell us how you came up with it.
Well, actually, we were driving around one day trying to come up with a name for our business, and it just hit me, A Teague of Your Own. And part of it is because when you hire us, you literally get a teague of your own. And Jim, like you said, he did not like it at the beginning. He's just like, no, there's going to be a bunch of younger people out there who just won't get the play on words. They won't get the reference to the movie, A League of Their Own. And I said, I don't care. It's my business. I'll name it whatever I want. And so I did. And the cool thing is every time somebody comes up to me and says, I love the name of your company. It just stands out. It's easy to remember. It's easy to relate to. I thank them profusely and let them know my husband didn't like the name.
Yeah, you definitely got to turn that into a line. Although, you know what? Jim's come around. I think
he has.
It's fine now.
Actually, what made him come around is one time somebody asked him, you know, what does this have to do? What does a teague of your own have to do with what you do? And he explained how it literally relates to coaching and to training and how, you know, when people think about baseball, they think about spring training, they think about coaches, they think about the team itself. And so the name actually invokes what it is that we do. Yeah.
Great job. By the way, the best teams
usually have the best leaders as well.
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you, Jim. By the way, I just want to shout out to Charles Liu here in Seattle is watching. Nicole Smith is on Facebook watching, and she says, my daughter loves the Astros. My brother loves the Cardinals. The husband loves the Braves. And by the way, Nicole loves your business name. There you go.
Awesome. Thank you, Nicole.
There you go. That's Nicole. Nicole's a great one. Okay. Well, let's move on to, so A Teague of Your Own. Talk to me about what you did pre-pandemic. And let's talk about how did you deal with this little virus that came around and probably screwed up your business a little bit?
Oh my goodness. I started A Teague of Your Own back in 2018, I want to say, is when I really got it up and going. And we're doing little things here and there, trying to build up our customer base, trying to get our name out there, let people know who we are and what we do. And we got the attention of our local workforce development and the ladies who work there. We actually have access to John Maxwell materials. And so we do a lot of training when it comes to using John Maxwell materials. And they had a customer who requested that. They reached out to us. We met with them, actually went to the customer's site, sat down with them in a conference room and talked about what we could do as far as training and coaching and how we could help them with some of the challenges that they were facing, and had dates all set up and a training plan, and we had a complete outline, and walked out into the parking lot. And what did they find out, Jim?
Found out that they had shut down the school and workforce development. We were done.
We were done. Literally, when we walked out of there, it was the middle of March 2020, and we couldn't do any trainings for them.
Jim, I got to add, we're going to do some movie quotes since A League of Your Own is a movie quote, right? You got to do the quote, which is, stick a fork in it and it's done. Right? I think that's aliens.
We went from the highest of highs walking out of that meeting going, all right, we got our first big contract, to lowest of lows. No, you don't.
Okay. How'd you get through it, Michelle?
Well, the good news is we're persistent, and that's what you need to be, because one of the first things that we explained was there's technology out there that people can use, and we had been using for years. Prior to becoming a business owner and being a contract trainer, I was a corporate trainer for years, and I used to do webinars. I used to use several different platforms for conducting those webinars, so I was well-versed in how to conduct training online. And Jim had no problem with it either. He had taught, both of us had taught for University of Phoenix online for many years, for about 11 years. Yeah. And as a result, we convinced both the workforce development people and the company we were trying to get this contract with that we could do this using online platforms, and we did. And the beauty of it was we not only got the original group that they wanted to train, but we got more people. And it's because once they figured out that they could do this online, they realized, oh, well, we don't have to limit it just to the people here in our area. We could actually expand this across the state and bring in employees from all across the state for this training.
That's fantastic. And so I think, and tell me a little bit too, what tools were you using before the pandemic broke out? So like, I don't know if it was, so for me personally, I started using Zoom in 2015 when the video program I was using at that time either started changing, phasing out, or not working. And one of my friends who was at college said her university had just done an expansive evaluation of every video platform, and in 2015 chose Zoom. So I just said, I'm just going to lean on the research and use Zoom. And I just happened to be in the right place at the right time, because that means I had a 5-year head start on basically everybody else, because we ran almost all of our non-in-person meetings on virtual on Zoom. So what tools were you using before the pandemic broke out?
My Zoom account goes back to 2017, so I was just a couple years after you.
Yeah.
I had also used GoToMeeting. I had used Adobe has, I'm trying to remember what Connect. They have. Connect, yes. I used Adobe Connect.
I'll take online platforms for $400. Go ahead.
And I love Zoom. It's super easy. It's very convenient for sharing links. It's not hard for people to get onto. It does what it needs to do. You've got the video, you've got the audio. It doesn't necessarily have all the bells and whistles that some of the other platforms do as far as looking to see are people staying engaged with you. However, you can tell people you need to keep the camera on, so that way you can tell if they're engaged or not.
Yeah, I think one of the key elements for Zoom, and by the way, just to be clear, right, none of us, the Tegan Theron and myself, are not being paid or compensated for Zoom. Yeah. We use it because it works. And that was one of the key pieces, is that after comparing all the other platforms too, and all of us got a chance to try them all, I think, at one time or another during the pandemic, you know, number one, Zoom does a great job of, one, keeping the video and audio consistent for long periods of time. And that's tough. Right. Some of them blew up at some point. And Zoom's not immune, right? You can still crash Zoom, but at least it held the meeting together. So you can come back within a minute or two and then go forward with your meeting. I thought the other thing that Zoom does really well that most platforms don't do, which is degrade kind of gracefully. And what I mean by that is, you know, Michelle's audio or video would start to cut out, but they would try and do their best to keep her audio. And then if her audio breaks up, it will actually elongate some vowels and other things. There's some very crafty tricks in there so that you can try and do your best to keep understanding something happening if you do have a technology problem. And I think that's one of the reasons why Zoom moved to the front. And now it doesn't matter. Like, all the platforms are all pretty good. But now the whole fact that everyone has a Zoom basis means that it actually has been better in multiple cases, because your trainer is already trained in it, right? The attendee is already trained in it. That means that for the most part, you don't have to reteach them. They know their mic. They can solve the most important problems, their camera and the mic. And now they can worry about the most important part, which is what's the learning, what's the training that we're trying to do. Jim, you have anything else to add about that transition or emotions you might have felt, of course, during that time, whether it's like the horror of having going to nothing and the elation of saying, oh, geez, I think we got a solution. I think we're going to make it through this.
That was exactly it. Realizing that we did have a solution and getting, everybody on board with that idea. And then once we did it, we got to do it again. And, and that's the thing I found with Zoom is that once you've gone through, it becomes second nature very quickly. And, I found that one of the things that happened with us working in academia is when everything blew up there, we had all of these faculty that were suddenly having to shift everything that they had done in person because we were, that's supposed to be one of the big selling points of school where I teach. All of a sudden, they're having to do all this stuff online and they had no clue, none. And fortunately, because of being part of this company and having taught online for many years, it was a very simple transition for me. I had no problems with it at all. But some of my fellow faculty members, they struggled big time with it.
And I think that's something that's important, right, is that in the last 2 or 3 years, you needed to have flexibility and adaptability, right? Or you just got to have experience. I mean, that's the other part, right? 3 to 5 years on a platform before you had to live on it means that you at least knew some of the stuff that was happening as opposed to coming in cold. You know, me and another meeting planner were just talking about all the meeting planners that hung a shingle saying, oh yeah, I'm a virtual meeting specialist. But nothing replaces, 3, 5, 10, 20 years of being on platforms in general and learning like how it is different. I think it's key is that it's different, which let's lead me to this next question. This is for both Jim and Michelle. The question is very easy. Oh, by the way, too, Nicole Smith said just about a Teague of their own, just don't pat your clients on the bum. Ha ha.
Ha ha. No.
That's another workplace class that you probably could do that you get certification. Yeah. Okay. Now, the question is this, which is for each of you, right? What has to happen for a virtual meeting to be engaging?
Ooh.
Well, you want me to go first on this one?
You go first, yeah.
Okay. All right. For me, I think it's more engaging if it's highly interactive. The more involved you can get the participants, the better.
Including the dogs. You got to get the dogs involved. Right?
She's going to participate as well.
You need dogs.
Yeah.
And I also think that it helps if they're somewhat entertaining. Yeah. It's nothing worse than going to a really boring Zoom meeting because you feel like all you want to do is sit there and go to sleep.
Here, I'll just pet the dog and make the dog go.
There you go.
Perfect. All right. No, I love that. Interaction is totally right, Jim. Before we transition to Michelle, too, what's like your favorite interaction? What's, it could be chat, it could be like Mentimeter or whatever. What is like one of your favorite interactions to use in a virtual meeting?
Most of the time it's chat. That tends to work very well. And then just when you actually are throwing out questions and you're getting feedback, and that also encourages people to make sure that they're not ghosting what you're doing and they're sitting there with no camera on.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks, Jim. Chat to me again, second most engaging tool on virtual. And I think that's universally been shown that people know it and love it. Mm-hmm. Right. And even if you don't have your camera on, you don't even have to camera on, you don't have to unmute, for whatever reason that you may not want to participate that way. It seems almost everybody feels comfortable with chat at some point or another in a program. And I think that's really a valuable way because there's crafty ways to use it too. All right. What about you, Michelle?
I like polls. Polling is a good way. It's super easy. They don't even have to type. They can literally just click the button and it does all the work for them. So polls are a good way to keep people engaged. I am one for using other types of outside platforms. I love using Kahoot! to set up games and stuff ahead of time and have people stay engaged that way. Because like you said, they may not want to turn on their camera. They may not want to unmute, but by golly, they're going to want to beat their coworkers and get as many points as possible when they're playing some kind of game. And so that's one of the great ways that you can keep people engaged is if you bring in outside sources like that. and make a game out of it. Gamification has been huge in the training industry for the past several years. And when everything went online, it made it super easy to bring that in to keep people engaged.
Yeah, and I think the key here, Michelle, about making it easier is now you can guarantee everybody has a certain level of tech.
Yes. Right?
So before, when you did in-person training, you know, especially 5 or 6 years ago, you were not guaranteed that everyone had a smartphone, right? Nope. Somebody could still be rocking their flip phone. Some people do still rock their flip phone.
They do. My mom's one of them. Yeah.
And so, but here on a computer, right, you now have this level of like something's here. And now even on a cell phone, a lot of these things work because all they do is bring up a browser. And so you can still interact. And so, you know, because people are doing that too, right? Haven't you had people attending and they're like in their car, they're yes. taking a walk, yep. right? Yep. Like they're in bed. Right? Yep. I've seen all sorts of stuff online. And I actually kind of like it. I like the accessibility of that. You know, one of our principles is get productive with virtual tools. And I think that 2023 is going to be another breakout year for tools. And the reason why is, you know, if you have Zoom fatigue, is that you need to bring these tools because now they all know the basis level. They might already be tired of chats and polls and stuff that they've already seen. So now you got to go outside of Zoom and mm-hmm. look for those other tools that can allow you to see this. Oh, Michelle, I wanted to see, have you ever heard of we created a brand new game. It's a networking game and it's called Guess Who. Have you seen the advanced polls yet on Zoom?
I believe I have, yes.
So if you turn on advanced polls, one of the coolest games that we saw is that if you create short answers, you ask everybody a question. Mm-hmm. And the question could be like, one of our favorite questions right now is, tell something about yourself that most people wouldn't, right? Mm-hmm. And then what we do is you get all the answers. And once you get all the answers, you have to click a button. It'll come in a browser. You can share that browser. And now collectively as a group, you can get people to guess and try and guess
who it is.
This fun fact. And it is not easy.
No, you're correct.
With like 8 to 10 people. But what happens is that you learn something about every single person in the meeting before it's mm-hmm. done.
Yeah.
So let me ask each of you this question, right? What's something about each of you that most people wouldn't know? Jeopardy song. Here, wait, I'll give you some more stall time. By the way, this is a great facilitator MC technique. If you ask a tough question and you see that, what happens is you should have a story here. And one of the ways to do it is say, hey, let me give you a little time to think about the answer and I'll share mine. So it demonstrates two pieces. One is modeling, which is like, and you know, the second one is vulnerability, saying I'm willing to do it. If I'm willing to do it, people most likely are willing to come back. And then the third is I'm killing time so that the introverts have time to think. Okay, so one that most people don't know about me is, I have summited 20,320 foot Denali or Mount McKinley in Alaska. It was certainly not last week, but I did do it in my lifetime. And there were 12 of us who made it to the summit one summer ago. Geez, that was like 2008, 2009. Yeah.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow.
Okay, now, either of
you. Going way back, when I was a junior in high school, I came in third place in the Science Olympiad in the paper airplane competition.
Oh, and what kind of design? Do you remember what kind of design you had?
Actually, yes. I went with sleeker is better. So literally by the time that I finished folding it, it was probably no wider than just a couple inches.
Like that.
And so, yeah. So that way it increased the accuracy as opposed to with the wingspan and being able to get further. I got less than a half inch away from the measuring tape, and accuracy accounted for the reason why I came in third place. Yeah.
Brilliant, Michelle. By the way, I also created an airplane contest at Tuskegee University, right? You know, the Tuskegee Airmen, it's Black History Month, right? Yes. It was famous for. And so I created one both times. I had two groups back to back, right? 25 one day and 25 the next day. Both winning entries crumpled up the piece of paper around a weight.
Just Throw it.
So that's a hack for those of you who want to try and win the competition. The key here, though, is if you weight it right, then unlike paper, it won't hit air resist. Like, it'll keep going. And anyways, that was the winning contest. So great story. Thank you. And by the way, Michelle, too, compliments to you, right? There's not enough women in STEM and STEAM and technology and engineering. And so I hope that you continue to show other women the way.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Jim, how about you? Something
we can okay. do. Mine's on the other end of the spectrum. many years ago when I was in high school and my family was living in Greece, I was part of a select group from our high school course that got to go to Egypt and compete in a singing competition that we won.
Singing? Wait, you said singing.
Singing. Singing. Part of the chorus.
Now, Jim, you have never been to my karaoke group on Saturday.
No, I have not.
Is that because you stopped singing or is that because?
No, I still sing. I think last time I didn't go because we forgot about it.
Well, actually, to be fair, I think your karaoke group starts at 10 o'clock our time.
That's right, 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time.
Yeah.
So might be past Jim's bedtime. Okay. Jim, what kind of song did you sing to win that contest?
I don't even remember what we sang. I'm trying to remember. I know there was one. It was an Italian madrigal that we sang. And I was part of the group. It was a song where the character singing the song was singing into a valley and there was an echo. And so we had the main group and then we had the four of us, or we were the echo. So they would sing and then we would answer back. And that was a lot of fun.
Excellent. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jim, too, for doing that. So Jim, I'm going to ask you this other coming question too. Now that you're 3 years pandemic, I would love to know this one key piece, which is, you've seen where you and your clients have gone.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to know, where do you think the future is? Where do you think, especially around virtual too? Because you know what? I just talked to one of our good friends too today, and he just shared with me, he's like back to 95 plus to 100% in person.
Really?
Yeah, I know. And I'm on the other side. Like, I want to ride this virtual train until like it's over. And so far this year, I have some other friends who have had 90 and 100% of their virtual business disappear, mm-hmm. but mine hasn't. And so, like I said, I'm going to keep going. So I'd love to hear from you, Jim. What do you think is going to happen in the future of virtual, 1 to 10 years out?
That's a good question. I don't know. I guess it will all depend. I mean, obviously people have figured out that one of the great things about virtual is it's far more convenient, particularly for the people presenting.
Yes.
I know there's a lot of organizations when it comes to hiring speakers that they're willing to have the speakers attend their meetings virtually. That may continue. I would love to see in higher education, virtual take on a greater presence, because I have found that my students prefer it. I have many that ask me if they can attend classes virtually. And so I think that's one of the things too, is with the current generation, Gen Z, they are so incredibly comfortable with it that
that's true.
I think that they're going to demand more of that, particularly if you have a situation where a lot of companies are allowing their employees to work remotely, have the bulk of their employees working remotely. In that case, it only makes sense to continue to have meetings and presentations and trainings done virtually. And the great thing is you can do it from anywhere.
I think too, one of my friends, Joy Banfield, who we just interviewed, her company has been and continues to be 100% virtual from its inception.
Wow.
So there are definitely some pockets, right, at like 30-40% still virtual. And I'm just going to keep curious because, this is one of those things, like, does everyone just go back to in-person, or, does virtual find its place in its space? Like, even this week, we had a Black History program and 200 people in person, over 100 virtual.
Mm-hmm.
Those people, most of them online, said we could not participate in this program, all right, without a virtual aspect. And so we want that accessibility. I think that's something that's super important. The other part too is most universities have started to invest in this technology, because when we went to this university, UW Tacoma, they had already had two pan tilt zoom cameras, right? And they've got all the mics, they have a touch panel, so like everything is actually set up to do the majority of their stuff hybrid. So that's one piece. And I also had a friend who is at USC. They've got like a super supreme virtual teaching room. So there is pockets of academia that is not only embracing the virtual, but sometimes they're trying to lead the pack in it because, you know, they're also doing research in remote learning. And so,
right.
So there is great pockets like that. What about you, Michelle?
I see virtual meetings and virtual summits and conferences. What I see is a hybrid. And that's because, like you said, there's a lot of people who, for whatever reason, just cannot attend physically. Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier that Jim and I have access to John Maxwell materials. That's because we're part of the Maxwell Leadership Certified Team.
Yeah.
For years, for you to get your certification through John Maxwell, you had to physically go to Orlando and go through their training there. When COVID hit, they immediately had to cancel their IMC that they had that March because everything was gone. By that August, though, when things still weren't in person, they realized, well, we're going to try doing this online for the first time ever. And what they found was there were people from all over the world who could not get visas to come into the United States.
Right.
Who could now complete the training and become certified members. And so they did a couple online, and then they started doing hybrid ones, and they found that they still had a lot of people that wanted to be there in person, but they also have a lot of people internationally that show up online. And even here in the United States, they'll still have people that show up online because they've got stuff going on in their lives and they can't leave where they are. And so I see a lot of organizations that are going to go to that format where it's going to be hybrid. And the meetings that they're going to conduct are going to be hybrid types of meetings. I mean, just in the Toastmasters Club that Jim and I belong to here in our area, it's a hybrid meeting. We have people that come in on Zoom. We have people that show up face to face. And companies are starting to do that. Organizers, the meeting planners that you're talking to, that's what they're starting to see. Whereas before it was out of necessity, now people are realizing, no, I kind of like the idea of having this flexibility. And I think that's going to be here to stay.
So with that, Michelle, what do you see as some of the best hybrid practices in the meetings you've been in?
Part of it, and you know this because you practice this, is having multiple camera, multiple speakers, multiple microphones.
Right.
You need the audio visual technical part of it all has expanded a lot. You can't just have one microphone and one camera and that's it. You have to have multiples, and they have to be set up at lots of different angles for lots of different people. And because for the experience to be a good experience for both those in person and for those people online, you need to be able to see everything from different angles and hear everything. That's part of the issue, is if you don't have the multiple microphones, you can't hear what everybody is saying and you can't hear what's going on. So a lot of it has to do with the technical aspect of it.
And this is where an owl or something else comes in, because to do it right, you either need multiple cameras and a human, right? Or the owl is kind of revolutionary because it has a 360 degree camera and a 360 array microphone. And we tested this, right? Again, I'm not paid by owl. I can just tell you, like, I like technology that works. We actually shoved an owl in the middle of a room. We had people around the table. The virtual, we had like 20 in person, 20 virtual. And the 20 virtual said they could hear everybody well. And then we tested it really hard. I walked 18 feet away to the farthest corner of the room and said something. and somebody on virtual was able to hear me and play back exactly what I said. And that's that's a cool place where technology is, because they again, they have multiple mic arrays, and then the software is doing, or the rest of it, saying, how can I balance all the stuff that's happening that would normally happen in a real room in a piece of technology? Yes. Jim, for you, do you have any other add-ons for hybrid best practices in a hybrid meeting?
No, I was just going to agree with you about the owls, because we have those in our classrooms. Uh-huh. And they have come in handy when we have students who cannot come to class. I've got a student who physically is unable to make it to classes. And so they have to join all of their classes remotely. And I wish that the administration would realize that this is a great opportunity and allow us to use it for many people. Because we could expand our enrollment. And I think that's the kind of technology you're going to see this again, also with what we do with the meetings and the training and everything else. I think you'll see expanded use of that in the future.
Fantastic. Thanks, Jim. All right. If you want people to remember one thing from Jim Teague, what's your one thing, Jim?
Ooh. That I'm fun.
I was going to play you Jeopardy music. Ready? Okay, yes, you're fun. That's absolutely right. One coin to Jim. Okay, there we go. And now, Michelle. Michelle, what's the one thing you want people to remember from this interview?
That even though our Molly puppy likes to talk and make herself known, working with us is a lot more like having an entire team coordinating what's going on with you. And Molly Puppy may be part of that team. She's definitely the number one mascot around here.
Yeah.
We're a team that can take care of the needs that you have when it comes to leadership development, communication skills, and teamwork.
Well, here we go. I got something for your dog. Here we go. Yeah, thank you, Jim and Michelle. Again, they can find you at, I believe it's ateagueofyourown.com. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Well, awesome. Well, Michelle and Jim, that's right. Oh, good. You got logo. Yeah, we got logo pointing over here. So thank you so much for being on, and thanks for teaching a live stream class at Sherry Prindle's Star Marketing Summit. We hope to see you at the mid-year Star Marketing Summit, wherever she's going to hold it. And by the way, too, where is it? You stream on a regular basis, and I mm-hmm. believe you do it on your YouTube channel. Is that correct?
That is correct. So head on over. If you go to the website, there's a link where you can go to the YouTube channel and you can subscribe. Go on there, subscribe. You'll get advance notice of when we are streaming.
That's perfect. And by the way, if you are watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe and the bell button on this. And also, if you want to get interviewed, you can also hit the link, engagingvirtualmeetings.com/meet, and select interview. That's what Jim and Michelle did, and that's why we're here. Hey, Jim and Michelle, thank you so much here. Let's see. I think I've got one message for you that's a closing message. It came from your dog, Molly. Here it comes.
Thank you for attending the performance. And a special thanks to all those who helped with the show.
Your dog has amazing enunciation. I just want to just let you know that.
Wow. I didn't know she could do that.
Well, that's why I took care of the dog. I took care of the dog, Molly. All right, great. Thank you, Jim and Michelle. We look forward to seeing you next time. Excellent. Thanks, Michelle. All right. Hey, this is John Shen. This was an interview with the one and only a Teague of Their Own with Jim and Michelle Teague. We hope that you enjoyed this. We're looking to meet members like you in our Engaging Virtual Meetings community. If you want to be interviewed, please sure and click that. Oh my gosh, look at this. I'm flying through the through this stadium. Genius background video. And make sure they click the button and then select interview. Earthquake! We'll see you next time! This is John Chen, the author of the Amazon number one hot new release, Engaging Virtual Meetings. I personally want to say thank you for listening to the Engaging Virtual Meetings podcast. It is my passion to help you eliminate bad virtual meetings. Make sure that you click subscribe so that you can get the latest episode of the Engaging Virtual Meetings podcast with all of the latest ideas. Hey, I want to meet you. If you want to talk about a virtual meeting challenge, or if you want to be the next guest on the Engaging Virtual Meetings podcast, just go to engagingvirtualmeetings.com/meet. That's engagingvirtualmeetings.com/meet, M-E-E-T, and find your best time to meet up. Thank you, and I look forward to engaging with you online.